You know, counting our blessings in this country is pretty easy to do, especially when we look at other countries and we see the war, we see the famine and these difficult things. War-torn and impoverished areas are a story unto themselves, and troubles and difficulties that currently abound. Today we'll want to count our blessings and understand that it's really the spiritual that counts. Count your blessings. It's the spiritual that counts. We could look at what physical blessings there are for many of us just walking through a store like Walmart. There's so much variety and things that are there, but even that becomes commonplace for us. Things like being able to get your car washed, oil changed, just having a car. Any mode of transportation, even if it has two wheels, is a luxury for many around the world. Yet we typically take it for granted, all that we have here. With all this considered, it's the spiritual blessings that we'll really want to take a look at and hone in on today and consider. To read and understand Yahweh's word is to understand what is important and what the definition of spiritual blessings truly are. They are definitely spiritual in nature. Psalm 112, and starting in verse 1 there, we'll begin with, "Praise Yah! Blessed is the man who fears Yahweh, who greatly delights in his commandments." This is such a stark contrast compared to what we hear today, and even in the churches. Yet this is from a man after Yahweh's own heart, finding delight in the law, in which people today say is a burden or a yoke that we cannot bear. It was a killing and slaughtering of animals for the sins. It was that type of thing that was a burden and is no longer necessary in the Messiah. Also gone is physical circumcision, a blood token of an older covenant. Psalm 32 and verse 1, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." This is quoted also in the book of Romans, speaking of how blessed we are to have our sins forgiven when we accept the Messiah in our lives and his sacrifice. And it's all without works. It was accomplished without works. Yet without works, it can be removed, as numerous areas of Scripture attest to. It all has to be considered together as one book. The message is, repent, accept Yahshua, and don't continue breaking Yahweh's laws. It is a blessing to know this, isn't it? We are given such a treasure of riches in Yahweh's word to be able to understand what we understand. We can't take it lightly. We can count it as a blessing. We also have to count the cost and consider our own steadfastness as we consider the Messiah and his steadfastness in faithfulness, even unto death. Being determined to do Yahweh's will, no matter what. Are we determined to do Yahweh's will, no matter what? We're tested and we're tried and we go through different things. And I think we are determined because we keep Yahweh's law and we keep seeking his face in the coming kingdom. Job 5:17-19, a man who had trouble, says, "Look, blessed is the man whom Eloah does reprove. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he bruises, but he binds up. He smites, but his hands heal. In 6 distresses he delivers you, and in 7 no evil strikes you." Now this doesn't necessarily sound like a spiritual blessing, but in a sense it is. This is Job relating the blessings of losing the physical to learn lessons in his own life. Character is built, integrity is tried and refined. These type of things will enter into the spiritual realm and into eternal life. Psalm 94, verse 12, "Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Yah, and whom you teach out of your law." When we consider the law, I think we're getting a glimpse into the character of Yahweh himself. He will not lie. He will not dishonor his Sabbath. He turns away from evil. And he has the integrity to keep his word and to do what he says he'll do. These are spiritual blessings even for us. Speaking of turning away from evil, I noticed this last night. It's an account telling of Yahweh walking in the midst of the camp of the Israelites, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 14. Since Yahweh your Elohim walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to defeat your enemies before you, therefore your camp must be holy. And he must not see anything indecent among you, or he will turn away from you. Now, the Kael and Delitzsch commentary, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, they say that phrase, he must not see anything indecent among you, means anything to be ashamed of. But the literal Hebrew, when you look at an interlinear, it actually says he must not see the nakedness of anything among you. The reason I bring this up is it's rather easy to look at movies, you know, be entertained and see all the nudity that is being promoted today and all the filth that is out there. But since we have his spirit, though as a Messiah, we are led to turn away from such things. However, if we disregard his spirit and his word and allow these things to be our personal or collective, or be in our personal or collective camp, then it's clear Yahweh will turn away from us, because he does not change. And he expects from us, just as he expected from his people before, what he wants. No different. He does not change. His character is set. It's ours that needs to improve and grow and conform to be in line with the Spirit. His holy character and integrity does not change. We need to draw close to him. He does not need to draw close to us. But what does the word say? That he will draw close to us if we draw close to him. Psalm 2, 11 through 12. Worship Yahweh with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he may not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those who take refuge in him. Now, I was pretty amazed and astounded to read this. Maybe I read it before and it just didn't have the impact that it did this time. We have been asked not too long ago about where in the Old Testament do we find any mention of Yahweh's Son. Well, Proverbs 30 and verse 4 comes to mind, but I think we can add this one to it as well. Clearly a reference to Yahshua. One of the blessings we see, and it is a spiritual blessing, is to grow in understanding the word of Yahweh and to see how it all fits together. It's like taking a 5,000-piece puzzle and working on it, getting a piece here, a piece there, putting it all together. We start to see a picture form, and we get a full image when we get all the pieces together. This is one reason we keep our doctrine straight and not allow strange doctrines to permeate the assembly. Otherwise, we'll end up with a distorted picture of Scripture. One of the doctrines we've recently been considering lately is one where a day starts. When does a day start? And there's actually a couple mini studies that we have addressing a couple different areas. And I had wondered earlier, why do we have two studies that basically say the same thing? One says, when does a day start? And one says, when does a scriptural day start? So it's kind of confusing for me when I was looking at it. And I took some time off from work, and I was reading through these, and I found something very interesting, something, again, I hadn't seen before. Deuteronomy 23, verses 10 through 11. If there is among you any man who is unclean because of a nocturnal admission, then he must go outside the camp. He may not reenter the camp, but it shall be when evening approaches, he shall bathe himself with water, and at sundown he may reenter the camp. Now, the incident happens at night, and the person must leave the camp so the tabernacle doesn't get defiled. And you read of this in Leviticus 15 and verse 31. But the point is, the next day starts when the sun went down, not when it went up. And this is also confirmed when you look at Leviticus 15, 1 through 15. It talks about being unclean until evening, same timing, and that they were to count off 7 days, 7 complete days. The only way they were counting off 7 days was to go from evening to evening, or as Genesis says, from evening to morning, that is, from through both the nighttime and the daytime, night and day in that order, which equals 1 complete day. To count days is from sunset to sunset, we find. The blessing in keeping our understanding straight in this is it will keep other areas of Scripture straight as well. Again, if you don't get the pieces of puzzles right, and if they go in the wrong areas, you come up with a distorted picture. Getting to the thing that I found really interesting, though, is the word sundown. It's the words bow and shemesh, Strong's 935 and Strong's 8121. Now, bow means closing, coming down, going down past a point, while shemesh means sun, essentially, you know, S-U-N, sun, essentially from the word meaning brightness. So literally, close of brightness or setting of the sun. Looking at the verses again, Deuteronomy 23, 10 through 11. If there is among you any man who is unclean because of a nocturnal emission, then he must go outside the camp. He may not reenter the camp, but it shall be when evening approaches, he shall bathe himself with water, and at sundown, bo shemesh, he may reenter the camp. And as we see here in the New American Standard Bible, sundown, the King James says, when the sun is down. And all the versions of the scriptures that I could find seem to say the same thing, maybe in a little different way, but they present it this way. But it's a blessing to keep our doctrine straight and correct while the weightier matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, and faithfulness, are achieved. Joshua himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And thinking of mercy, this is certainly true. Quite contrary to what we hear the merchants of the world telling us. You deserve this. You should have this. You can't live without this. You know, Carrie and I just got rid of our satellite dish, and we ended up getting some new technology through Roku, I think it's called. Anyway, we don't have any commercials. We love it. And we're able to choose what we want to see. And we get to avoid all the garbage that we don't want to see. And there's a lot of garbage out there. On the internet, on TV, you know, all around. But we're to strive to be a clean people. It's extremely important, as we're going to see. Psalm 128 and verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in his way. Cause and effect. You pick up the end of one stick, you'll get the other end automatically. Blessings and cursings are set up this way. But the very purpose of many of the laws is for our own good. It's automatic. Blessings to walk in the way of Yahweh and to keep his laws, statutes, and judgments, physical as well as spiritual. Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed is the one who trusts in Yahweh, whose confidence is in him. Are we not blessed knowing who Yahweh is, and what Yahweh is doing, and that Yahweh is in charge and will save us in times of need? No worries, but the flesh doesn't let us get away with that very easily, does it? I mean, we struggle. But we're told not to worry, especially about having wealth in this world. Matthew 6:25-27, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. You know, I just turned 46 today. And I think I just passed my midlife crisis. I'm glad to get that passed. Whew. I was wanting a motorcycle and wanting to do stuff. And I think Yahweh is saying, no. You know, you got other things to focus on. So he's working things out still. Going back to Matthew 6:25-27. Don't worry about your body. What you will wear, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the field, or the birds of the air, rather. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds them? The Father does. Are you not much more valuable than they, than the birds? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, there are times when we get knocked down hard. I've been there, and I know what it's like, and it's not comfortable. And it brings up some hard feelings sometimes. But Yahweh has His hand extended out to help us to get past whatever difficulties we have. And I know we've all got something. But there are times when we get knocked down to think about our lives in a deeper, more meaningful level, to think about what is really important. 20 years ago, I was in a motorcycle accident and ended up in the hospital for 3 days. That in itself, 3 days, made me think about the Messiah. But I wrote down the following things in thinking about the ordeal, turning a negative into a positive. A chance for personal evangelism. Now remember, this is 20 plus years ago. But stronger faith, better understanding of mortality, sympathy and compassion for others, able to instruct and counsel others, and meditation, of course, meditation upon the things that really matter, spiritual, oriented, Yahweh's word oriented. Now, was there a spiritual blessing that came from something that almost killed me? Yeah. Spiritual blessings, plural. It reminds me of what Job said that we had read earlier, Job 5, 17 through 19. Look, blessed is the man whom Elohim does approve. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he bruises, but he binds up. He smites, but his hands heal. And in six distresses he delivers you, and in seven no evil strikes you. Was I being reproved? Quite possibly. I had just come back from purchasing an electric guitar, a nice big amp, with two big speakers. And, you know, that may have very well taken me in the wrong direction, since it was rock and roll that I really had a desire to play at the time. But in all of it, Yahweh was still working on my heart and on my mind, making me think about the things that are really important. And, you know, I'm grateful and thankful for Yahweh's intervention in my life. And interestingly enough, it was with the accident, it was my right arm just below the wrist. couldn't play, guaranteeing I wouldn't be able to play, but allowing me to study Yahweh's word. Now, if it hadn't been for that accident, I probably wouldn't be here where I am right now. So we each count our spiritual blessings in different ways and at different times. And I'm glad for whatever is needed to keep me on the straight and narrow. And I hope you feel the same about yourself. You can count it as a spiritual blessing. But it's been on the seemingly negative and see it for what it is, a positive thing. In what are known as the Beatitudes, we read of who are blessed. And it starts out, Matthew 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the reign of heavens. Now, most translations read heaven, but as we look at the morphology of the word heaven, it's actually better translated heavens, plural. And as we already know, there are at least three heavens. So what this is saying is the poor or humble in spirit will receive everything, and as we know, will eventually rule with Yahshua. That's the hope of being in the Messiah with a humble attitude. And it's only the humble that can submit to Yahweh's ways and accept His will for them. It's something that Satan and his spirit refuses to accept. And there's a lot of people under his influence. Matthew 5 and verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This reminds me of the area in Scripture where Yahweh Himself comes down after the 1,000-year reign, after Yahshua has established the kingdom for Yahweh, essentially. That Yahweh Himself comes down and wipes away the tears. It's something that's coming, and it's something we certainly want to be a part of. Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Now, some translations say filled, so the verse can relate to the idea of being saturated in the Spirit and in the Word of Yahweh, I believe. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And this fits in with the idea that as you do unto others, it will be done unto you. You'll notice as we go through these that they all relate to the spiritual, those things which can and which do have everlasting qualities. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the clean in heart, because they shall see Elohim. The only way we're actually going to see him is if we become spirit beings ourselves. And so we've really got to clean up our lives and make sure we're doing what Yahweh wants us to do. Yahshua himself told the Pharisees, your righteousness is going to have to exceed anything they've got. So it's very important what we're going through here. We talk a lot about being clean and not breaking Yahweh's law, the laws, and there's a reason for it. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of Elohim. This is an attribute of, or fruit of, Yahweh's Spirit, love, joy, peace, so on and so forth. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How does one become persecuted because of righteousness? Psalm 119:169 says that the commandments are righteousness. Not just some of them. It says all of them. As we come here to meet before Yahweh on his Sabbath day, there are employers who persecute and even fire us. There are families who think we're a cult and say as much to others and even to us sometimes. Talk about being tested. It's still righteousness in Yahweh's sight what we're doing. It's his way of life. And that is what counts. Not what man thinks, but what Yahweh thinks and tells us to do as a people. Again, the word heaven in this verse, as the other, should be plural. The kingdom or the reigns of heavens is all-encompassing, including the physical and the spiritual. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when they reproach and persecute you and falsely say every wicked word against you for my sake. This is not something we desire to go through, but it happens. Typically by those who are atheists, who don't believe in the Messiah, but even in the streets of Jerusalem, by Jews today, they ridicule the Messiah in the face of those trying to reach them. I watched one young teen Jew basically tell one Christian to go to hell and that he could take Jesus with him. There is some real anger and hatred towards the message that we present. Now, of course, we have a deeper understanding that Jesus isn't his proper name, that there are certain things that we are expected to do. We're not given a license to go continuing our lives as we once had. We have to change our lives, and that's what repenting means. It means turning around and drawing close to Yahweh so that he'll draw close to us. Other older Jews will push and strike others, trying to proselytize them. Now, the one time that I saw this, the individual was not being forceful, the Christian that was there trying to share the Messiah with him. But this man pushed him hard, didn't want to hear the message, the good news, I think we can say, with the Messiah being talked about. But it's hard to hide with the advent of video now being taken of these type of scenes there. Children will get ridiculed and picked on in school in Jerusalem for believing in the Messiah. Not by Muslims necessarily, but by other Jewish children. But there is Muslim persecution as well. I heard one tour guide describe in a documentary how the Muslims didn't allow Bibles to certain areas that the tour group wanted to go. So he explained to them that they would need to take their Bibles and leave it on the bus, because the last time they went there and left the Bibles, because they were instructed to leave their Bibles in the location before they proceeded, when they came back, the Bibles were gone, and they never did get them back. So the tour guide was trying to help the people that were there, you know, looking around to, you know, hold on to your Bibles by leaving them here, because they won't let you in this particular area that we're going. That's what he was telling them. You know, Yahshua concludes the Beatitudes, or beautiful attitudes as they're also known, with the following, and we'll go ahead and close with this. Matthew 5 and verse 12. Rejoice ye and be glad, because your reward is great in the heavens. For thus did they persecute the prophets who were before you. They didn't want to hear Yahweh's word. They didn't want to hear the message about a coming Messiah. They didn't want to hear it at all. And they didn't want to hear about the tribulation that was coming. Jeremiah cried, because he knew what was coming, and he knew the hardships that would be ahead. And I wouldn't be surprised if those hardships are going to come upon this country, which seemingly is so blessed, but is so poor. They just cannot see it. As we count our blessings, let's never forget that it's the spiritual that counts, and the rewards are out of this world, literally. May Yahweh bless.